everywhere. Bright and beautiful music. KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
It's 10 p.m.
CBS News. The United States wants Israel to be more flexible in negotiating a possible Middle East peace accord. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. President Ford held a brief meeting Friday with the Israeli ambassador to the United States. Diplomatic sources say Mr. Ford personally asked Israel to consider making greater concessions to Arab states to get Middle East peace talks going again. The ambassador said he would relay the request to Israeli Prime Minister Rabin. The FBI continues what is called a systematic search of the Pine Ridge, South Dakota Indian Reservation for suspects in the slaying of two FBI agents. No arrests have been made. More CBS News after this.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
Hi, I'm Mike Roy, and the chap next to me is Dennis Brackett.
Mm-hmm.
Be cool, follower.
Hey, this is fantastic looking shrimp here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep the hands off the shrimp until tomorrow.
Oh, well,
we're going to make shrimp love boats.
Shrimp what?
Yeah, you heard about love boats.
Well, yes.
Tunnel of love?
Yeah.
Well, this shrimp escaped from that and found its way into an avocado. The result, instant salad. Delightful.
I don't know what the heck he's talking about, friends, but I'm going to tune in tomorrow to Mike's Cooking on CBS and find out.
The Interior Department has released the draft environmental impact statement on the proposed leasing of offshore oil and gas tracts in the Gulf of Alaska. The report warns specifically of social and economic disruption on Alaskan communities, higher cost of living, inadequate schools, housing, sewage facilities, and the demise of the traditional native cultural lifestyle. The report also warned that offshore drilling could result in chronic oil spills. Labor unions in Argentina are demanding that President Isabel Perón confirm wage increases and replace key cabinet ministers. Details from Rob Trussell in Buenos Aires.
More than 70,000 workers stood in front of Government House and shouted insults at the government. They were protesting government economic policies that threatened to take away salary increases that unions have won after weeks of battle. The president, Isabel Perón, has promised to give her decision on the problem Saturday. The last demonstrators have gone home, and most of Argentina has gone to bed to await the president's statement. But there is a crisis. The crowds demanded the resignation of presidential secretary López Rega, but he is considered a mainstay in the government. And all is not quiet. There was a 10-minute gun battle by unidentified groups only blocks from my home in downtown Buenos Aires. No matter what the president has to say tomorrow, there will be important dissatisfied groups in opposition. The Argentine Senate has decided to meet to choose a provisional president of the Senate who could succeed Mrs. Perón to the presidency. This is Bob Trossel for CBS News in Buenos Aires.
The Senate has approved a $7.5 billion aid to education bill. That's $1.5 billion higher than President Ford had requested, and another presidential veto may be in the works. The United States and South Korea have informed the United Nations Security Council they are willing to terminate the UN command in South Korea. The offer was made providing China and North Korea agree to alternative arrangements for maintaining the 1953 armistice. A U.S. spokesman says the change is a logical step.
There's no real change in the situation in Korea. We are really following through on a promise that we gave some time back and was included in the last resolution at the United Nations, which was that we felt the UN command structure was obsolete and that it should be replaced.
Courtney Shelton, a spokesman for the United States delegation to the UN. More after this.
What does the price of potatoes have to do with using Quaker State Motor Oil in your car? Well, like everything else these days, even good old reasonably priced spuds have shot up in price. So you can imagine how much an engine repair will cost you. And here's where Quaker State Motor Oil comes in. You see, regular changes with Quaker State can help reduce costly engine repairs. Made from Pennsylvania-grade crude oil, the world's choicest, and refined an extra step, Quaker State's the number one selling motor oil. And now that you need Quaker State more than ever, you can find it in more places than ever. Quaker State may not drive down the price of potatoes, but it can certainly help save you some cabbage.
Quaker State, your car, to keep it running.
The American Federation of Government Employees says it is taking initial steps to unionize the armed forces. The union president says there is nothing in the law which prohibits members of the military from joining the unions. Pentagon reaction was swift and firm. We'd fight it to the death. There's no way you can have an army that way. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
From CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for cloudy nights and morning hours, cool through Sunday, with occasional afternoon sunny periods. Rain showers becoming widely scattered on Sunday. The high is near 65, tomorrow upper 60s on Sunday, and lows in the upper 40s. In downtown Seattle currently, it's 54 degrees. And taking a look at sports, Major League Baseball activity. In the American League, Boston beat the Yankees by a score of 9-1, Chicago over Kansas City 4-3. Cleveland 6, Milwaukee 1, Baltimore beat Detroit 3-2, Texas down Minnesota 2-0. In the National League, Cincinnati beat San Diego 5-2, Atlanta over Houston 7-4, New York 4, Philadelphia 2. St. Louis and Montreal divided a pair, Pittsburgh took 2 from Chicago 5-1 and 5-3. CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next on KIXI, 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. It is said that fine feathers do not make fine birds. It is also claimed that you cannot judge a book by its cover. Unfortunately, both these trenchant observations have been consigned to the limbo of wise sayings that are constantly being disregarded. Birds, books, and even people are always being judged by their appearance. The sad truth is that the overwhelming majority of us will choose a beautiful fool over a homely philosopher. Well, that's life. And sometimes, that's death.
Did you kill him?
Well...
Never mind well. Did you kill him? Answer yes or no.
I'm not sure.
What do you mean you're not sure?
I really don't know.
Did you buy a knife?
Yes.
Are those your fingerprints on the knife?
Yes.
Then how can you deny that you killed him?
I admit it. Looks bad for me, Mars.
Bad? It looks terrible.
The only thing that makes me doubt that I'm a murderer... No, I can't tell you.
You must tell me.
Well, promise not to laugh.
I promise.
Mars, there is one thing I could never do. Now you have to believe me. I could never kill a man who wore a pink shirt.
Our mystery drama, The Rape of the Maya, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Arnold Stang and Norman Rose. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Hey, when's the last time you made a wish?
I wish I could get an angiometry.
I wish for a place to live.
I wish I was in Omaha with my grandmother and grandfather.
Wishing is very important, you know.
I think I wish for all the children in the world to be well and healthy and have enough to eat.
I wish I could lose 100 pounds.
I wish I had a bike.
My wish is for good health.
Wishing means you hope for better things.
I wish we could find solutions to the crime problem.
I wish that we win every soccer game in our league.
I wish, and I really wish, the price of food would go down.
If you want hope, you've got to make a wish.
If I have one wish, it's to understand my children.
I wish that everything works out between my boyfriend and me.
I just wish for a job.
I wish all the lost children would come home to their fathers.
Because without a wish, there can be no hope.
Yeah, I wish there were more love and truth and less loneliness in the world.
From the Franciscans, with love.
I enjoyed flying. I just got an immense pleasure out of flying. Can't describe it. It's just something that, you know.
I don't know. I guess basically my whole being is based on adventure, on the challenge of flying an aircraft, knowing that you have the responsibility for a multi-million dollar aircraft. And that responsibility that it gives you makes your life significant, makes my life anyway.
To me, flying is something that gives me a lot more freedom in understanding myself. I get to find my own fears and faults when I'm up alone. There's no one else to help me. No one else to grab the controls and pull me out of the spin. It's up to me.
The flight training they're giving me, what it's worth, I couldn't even start to make in a lifetime.
It takes a special type of person.
Learn to fly in the Navy. If you're going to be something, why not be something special? Said Henry David Thoreau, of all enterprises that require new clothes. That was all very well for Henry T., who liked to live single-o at Walden Pond, where he could commune with frogs and flowers and field mice. My Lord, if everybody had that attitude toward new clothes, what would happen to a certain little world that lies within the confines of Manhattan Island, a universe in microcosm, which is simply known as 7th Avenue. But enough philosophy. You tune us in for action, we'll give you action. A most beautiful young girl is walking down 7th Avenue near 37th Street. She is clad in a stunning, shimmering, flowing dress. It is a dress to inflame the imagination and arouse the passions. And here is a young man who has been obviously aroused and inflamed because, without warning, he grabs her.
Let go of me! Who are you? What?
That's mine! Now that is mine!
Take your hands off
that
me!
That gown! Where did you get that gown?
Oh, scream!
Take that dress off! It's mine!
Help! Help!
No, don't scream!
There's a maniac! Help me!
Now just listen! Oh. Listen, you fool!
You're joking me!
Yes, I'm joking you! I have to make you stop screaming. Now look, you're an intelligent girl. Now you must promise to be good. Now don't open your mouth. Just listen. I'm gonna let go of you. See? Now, take off that dress.
Thank you, officer. I shall call when I require your services again.
I'll kill him. I'll destroy him utterly.
Vaughn, it's too early in the morning to talk about killing.
He stole the Maya. He stole the Maya.
All right, so he stole the Maya.
Oh, sure, you could say, all right. Is the Maya your inspired vision? Was the Maya distilled from your blood? You fat Philistine.
I'm trying to lose weight.
I shall assassinate that depraved thief.
You'll be out of here by lunchtime.
I'll let out his heart's blood.
Now, Vaughn, we have to get back to work. The show is in 13 days. I need another design.
Morris. How can you speak of new designs? I lie here violated, ravaged, distraught.
Give me something I can produce for $49.95.
Leave me, Morris, with my grief.
A simple little frock with a collar. Vaughn, what do you think about a collar?
Oh, that viper. That viper. I allowed him to sit at my feet, basking in the rays of my creativity.
I got it. Let's bring back the Peter Pan collar.
And that infamous wretch plunges a poison dagger into my back.
Vaughn, listen to me. The reason you're getting off easy, I saw that girl's father last night. I thought if I would explain to him about the Maya...
The rape of the Maya!
How you designed this gorgeous dress, and for only $39.95.
Be my witness, Myers. The dagger he plunged into my back is the dagger I shall thrust into his heart.
But I take a look at the father, a giant, a hard hat. When I say who I am, he says, "What do you want?" I'm telling you, if looks could kill, I'd be a corpse.
To design the Maya... Maya,
daughter of Atlas and Diana. I was inspired by the ancient gods themselves.
But I explained to him how you created such a masterpiece and had it stolen from you by your best friend,
no.
who turns around and sells it to another manufacturer. Why, this big giant, you know what? He just sat down and cried.
Through the heart. Through his false, perfidious heart. I shall stab him.
So, no charges, everything's fixed.
I shall rid the world of an abomination that calls itself Perry Fullerton.
You come right back to work this afternoon.
I shall never take pencil in hand again. Leave me with my grief.
All right. God! You know, Vaughn, when I heard that you were arrested for attacking a girl, I... Well, how could I believe it?
Sally Jo, I have to talk to you.
Oh, well?
Sally Jo, I'm in trouble.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Sugar.
What I mean is real trouble.
Oh, I'm genuinely sorry to hear that.
Oh, it's a bad scene. Oh, it's total trouble.
Oh, Para, honey.
Have you seen Adrian?
Adrian?
Yes, if Adrian finds me, I'll...
Harry Sugar, now why should you be scared?
I need $500, like right now.
But you got $500. You took that adorable little Maya dress over to the man at Personality Frocks, and he gave you $500 in nice new bills.
He did.
Well, then you have the $500. Well, what?
He don't have the $500.
Adrian.
Yeah, it's Adrian.
Sally Jo, what is he doing here?
What am I doing here? I paid a rent, that's what I'm doing here.
Well, now, that's not really true.
It ain't. Perry owes me $500, so he's paying your rent with my money.
Adrian, let me explain.
What's to explain? You just come up with five big bills which you owe me. Dig into them green pants of yours.
They're aqua.
And hand over the dough.
Well, I have the money. I
don't like where this is headed.
But you know... Do you know the shoddy way they make things
you
today?
You ain't gonna like it either.
Well, there's a hole in my pocket, you see? And the money just slipped out.
I'll tell you where the dough slipped out. You stopped off on the way down here. You laid the whole $500 on some nag.
That's not true.
The race is over, but your nag is still running.
Now, Adrian... Don't press me.
You see this little slip of paper? Read it.
Nobody pushes me around.
Everybody pushes you around, punk. Read what it says on the paper.
Maya, 500, PF. Well?
That's your marker. You put 500 on her nose and she come in dead last.
Maya? How could a horse named Maya lose? Vaughn and I designed a gown called Maya.
Vaughn and you? Oh, now, Sugar.
Oh, you're always trying to put me down, Sally. Vaughn warned me about
Shut
you.
Shut up. She's on your side. She showed you how to raise $500 by stealing the dress design. But a natural-born sucker like you can't pass by a betting parlor or a bookie. You must have dropped the whole $500.
I told you there was a hole in my pocket.
The money burned the hole in it. You treat yourself pretty good on my dough, don't you? Punk. You must have paid $50-$60 for that red shirt.
It's pink. Flamingo pink.
You don't make a sucker out of me.
Adrian Sugar, you're raising your voice.
This punk, I'm gonna kill him.
That won't get you your $500.
It'll get me something else, satisfaction.
Adrian, you can't afford to kill a person just for satisfaction.
Why not? Why can't a guy do something just because he wants to? I'm human. I got needs.
Adrian.
Hey, now, you've got to fold up that knife.
Adrian.
You don't want to kill me.
But I do.
I'll pay you.
You ain't never gonna pay me.
No, but I will. I swear I will.
You had the money.
I know. And on the way down here, well, I heard about a good thing in the Fifth at Starlight Park. At 8-1. His name was Clothes Horse. Can you imagine? Clothes Horse, and I'm a designer.
You're an assistant designer.
So, I thought... Well, I'd have enough to pay you back, plus. Clothes, horse. Oh, if you were me, wouldn't you bet your life on clothes, horse?
Do you know what you are? You are a hunch better.
Oh, yes, 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 indeed. I am a hunch better.
You know what happens to hunch betters? They die broke, you understand?
Oh, yes, yes, indeed. I do. They die broke.
So, as long as you're broke, why shouldn't you die now?
No, I swear to you, Adrian, I'll get that money. I'll pay you back. Only please, please don't kill me.
Wait a minute. How can a soft-hearted guy like me expect to get anywhere in this world?
Oh, believe me, Adrian. Forget what you hear. Nice guys do finish first.
So, I ain't gonna kill you.
And you won't regret it. I'll pay you back every cent.
But just to make sure you remember, I'm gonna carve a little mark.
No. No, you keep away.
On the right side of that chin of yours.
Adrian, no,
stand
no.
Still.
No, I won't.
Don't try to fight him, Perry. Now, don't.
Let go of my arm, punk.
No, I won't let you kick me.
I said let go.
No, don't.
Don't kill him.
Hold still. You're getting off cheap.
No.
You killed him.
I told him to stand still. It was his own fault.
Oh, the blood. Look at that blood all over his shirt.
Who's that?
Open up, Perry Fullerton. I know you're in there. Open the door and face me.
Keep still or go away.
The door.
What about the door?
Perry Fullerton, you have raped the Maya. You shall reap the whirlwind.
The door. It isn't locked. Oh, what'll we do if he turns the knob?
In this package, I have a gift for you. Come, let me look at your face as I unwrap it.
Perry Fullerton, you forgot to lock your door against fate. You're a dead man.
Why, he just fainted.
You know this creep?
Well, sure, of course. His name is Vaughn.
Oh, not anymore, it ain't. It's just been changed.
It has.
To Patsy. Leave me make a few arrangements.
Thank you. Thank you, officer. Tell me, isn't this where I came in? Vaughn, you know what they say. They say you killed him.
Yes.
The door was open. A neighbor passed by. They say you were lying there, unconscious, on the floor next to him.
Yes.
The knife. The knife with the switchblade, with blood on it, was in your hand.
Yes.
They say you had the motive.
Yes.
And so, when you add all this together, it proves you killed him. That's what they say.
Yes, Morris, that's what they say.
But, Vaughn, you know what I say. I say I don't believe a word they say.
Why, Morris? Why?
Because I believe you're innocent. I refuse point blank to believe them.
No, Morris, believe them.
What are you saying? Why should I believe them?
Because they happen to be right. I'm guilty.
Guilty? Vaughn, how can you even say such a thing?
Because, Morris, it's true.
Oh, no. No, not you.
I killed him.
I can't believe it. How could a person like you kill another human being?
What a pointed and pertinent question. How could Vaughn have done it? Especially since we were present and know full well how matters went. The usual procedure is for the guilty to claim innocence. Here, on the other hand, is an innocent who claims guilt. Well, that's why we have a second act. So we can turn the screw even tighter.
See if you can identify these sounds. Squeaky door? Lion growling. A motor scooter. Cow mooing? Spanish dancer. If you agreed with these guesses, you've been fooled.
because each sound was made by a whale. That's right, a great big blubbery old whale just buzzing and clicking and grunting away deep down in the ocean. The National Audubon Society has joined a world effort to save these amazing animals from extinction. We need your help. To find out what you can do, write National Audubon Society, 950 3rd Avenue, New York, New York, 10022.
Do you think a computer programmer needs the use of his legs? New York University doesn't. They hired a man who's almost totally paralyzed. Yet they'll be the first to admit Tom Clancy's one of the best computer programmers they ever had. Of course, Tom Clancy's just one person, but there are millions of men and women in this country very much like him. People who have accepted their disabilities and come through rehabilitation with skills, determination, and a sense of responsibility. Yes, Tom Clancy's got a very good job. But what about all the others? The Director of Vocational Rehabilitation in your state has a file of highly qualified people in every field, ready, willing, and able to work. If you're not in a position to hire them, talk to someone who is. And next time there's an opening in your company, ask him to write the Director of Vocational Rehabilitation. His office is in your state capital.
A public service message brought to you on behalf of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare and the Advertising Council.
Maya was the name of the ancient Greek goddess of fertility. Maya is also the name of a sleek 3-year-old racehorse who is still considered a maiden, meaning she hasn't won yet. And finally, Maya is the name of a beautiful gown designed by Vaughan Lemaire. Well, the goddess named Maya inspired the gown, but the racehorse named Maya inspired a losing bet, which produced a chain of circumstances, the latest link of which finds our poor Vaughan Lemaire in prison, charged with murder.
Listen, Vaughan. A nut, you probably are, but a murderer? Definitely not.
Oh, how little we know the inner heart of another human being.
Don't start up with me, Vaughan. I know you.
Oh, Morris, like Diogenes, you seek so desperately for the minuscule speck of what is good in man.
Did you kill him?
Did I kill him?
Say yes or no.
Yes.
I don't believe it. Look me in the eye and say yes.
Yes.
I still don't believe it.
Why? Why won't you believe
me? Will you stop being stubborn? You want to sit in the electric chair? You didn't kill him, and that's all there is to it.
Morris, accept reality.
You talk to me about reality.
Oh, poor Morris, the eternal optimist. You so desperately want to believe in the essential goodness of man, but man is evil. The flesh is wicked. I have the brand of Cain, the murderer's mark.
What are you talking about? How could you kill anybody? You faint at the sight of blood.
Yes, that's true. But you don't see the blood until afterward.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Wise Guy. Wind up in the chair with the wires and the metal cap.
I decided to kill him. I purchased the knife. I went to the apartment, and I killed him. You must accept it, Morris.
No.
Oh, poor Morris. Poor, loyal, loving Morris.
You mean you killed him? You really actually killed him?
Now, please, you mustn't feel so badly.
I'll get you a lawyer.
Now, please, Morris, not your son-in-law.
Sheldon's a wonderful lawyer.
I don't want a wonderful lawyer.
Why not?
He might get me acquitted.
That would be bad.
I'm guilty. I must pay for my crime.
Vaughan, is there anything you need?
Solitude. I must compose the speech.
What speech?
When the judge will say, Vaughan Lemaire, do you have anything to say before sentence is passed upon you? I intend to be ready.
Yeah. I tell you, Vaughan, after they made you, they threw away the model. Lieutenant Valentine.
What can I do for you, Mr.?
Goodman. Morris Goodman of Goodman Originals. We're almost neighbors. I hate to bother you in the middle of a working day.
Oh, that's perfectly all right, Mr. Goodman. We at your police department are public servants, constantly at your disposal.
It's about Vaughan Lemaire.
Oh, yes. Vaughan Lemaire. Are you a blood relative?
Well, I'm closer than that. He's my designer.
Well, how may I help you?
Well, I just can't believe he would commit a murder.
Why can't you believe it?
Because people we know do not commit murder, correct? Murderers are subhuman, evil strangers.
But he's such a gentle person. He's crazy, maybe, but...
Yes, but there's an extensive literature on the subject. Now, are you familiar with Kowalewski's theory of supportive denial?
No, I'm not sure.
Well, in a situation where the accused is an outwardly gentle, law-abiding person who does not fulfill the normal stereotype of the psychotic with homicidal tendencies, his immediate personal community will weave a protective web.
Yes, I think I understand.
Yes, to protect the murderer, yes, but also to protect their own emotional investment in him.
Yes, but even so...
Well, our faith in a cause and a belief in another human being dies hard. But fact, as Trevelyan wrote, is usually the killer of faith. So, motive? Under Perry Fullerton's body, this slip of paper. Please read it.
Meyer, 500, P.F.
A note to himself. How he could get $500 from P.F., personality frocks, or the Meyer, which he did.
Yes.
The knife itself, switchblade, bloodstained, and with his fingerprints on the handle.
Yes. Tell me, what's in that box, the one with the gift wrapping? It looks like something he bought at Julio's down the street.
Inside this gift wrap box was nothing.
Why would he bring a gift wrap box with nothing inside?
For a symbolic reason. Perhaps because what he was truly bringing Perry Fullerton was death.
Yes.
And finally, this document, his confession, fully and freely given, in which he admits the murder. Well, Mr. Goodman? To prove murder, we must show the accused is guilty beyond the shadow of a doubt. Now, are you still in that shadow, Mr. Goodman?
No. No, you're right. I didn't want to believe it, but... How long can I insist the earth is flat? Thank you, Lieutenant. Thank you, officer.
Morris!
I came over as fast as I could. Now, what is the matter, Vaughn? You're so excited.
Morris, I'm being framed.
For what?
For murder. I didn't kill Perry Fullerton.
Yes, you did.
Who says so?
Who? You! You convinced me that you killed him. The knife? The fingerprints?
I thought I killed him.
You thought? How could you think?
Because I was making a natural assumption.
Oh, is that so?
I had every intention of killing him. Therefore, I went to Julio's. I purchased a knife. I went to the apartment. The next thing I knew, I was lying there beside his dead body on the floor, the knife in my hand. And so, wouldn't it be natural to assume that I had accomplished my mission and killed him?
Yes, it would be natural.
But this morning, as I awoke from troubled slumber, I realized that I did not kill him.
How could you realize?
That when I walked inside the door, he was already lying dead on the floor, and I fainted at the sight of the blood.
No, Vaughn. You convinced me the other day.
Two people were standing there in that room.
Oh, yes, I know. And they had just gotten off from a flying saucer. Now, please, Vaughn.
I didn't kill him. Sally Joe. You know Sally Joe. She used to be our model. I fired her because she became obese.
Oh, maybe she put on a little weight, but obese.
She was standing there with Adrian.
Vaughn, who could believe such a story?
A person who calls himself my friend could believe it.
I can't keep up with you. One day you're guilty, the next day you're innocent.
All right. Let me prove it to you that I am innocent. I went to Julio's to purchase the knife. It was a Damascene blade.
Oh, please.
This was to be the most artistic and exquisite killing in the entire history of personal assassination.
Well, even when you talk about a knife, it makes me...
I would confront him and I would say, I have a gift. I shall unwrap it. I shall present it. Point first. And I would. But I fainted. You yourself, you know I faint at the sight of blood.
Sheldon says it won't be too bad. You can plead temporary insanity.
But you see, I couldn't have killed him unless and until I could make him change his shirt.
Now, what is this?
Morris,
His shirt was flamingo pink. His blood was bright red. Well, truthfully, the sight of that atrocious clash in colors is what made me pass out.
But as you said yourself, the blood you don't see till afterwards.
No, Morris, not I. Had he been alive when I entered the flat, had I held the knife to his breast, I would have seen the red blood before it gushed forth to stain the pink shirt. I, a designer, see things before they exist.
Well, then, Vaughn, how...
Morris! Have you ever known me to mix pink and red? Have you? Oh, I'm ill. I just can't think of it.
Vaughn, will you please shut up? A person can't hear himself think.
Morris, have I ever lied to you?
Oh, constantly. And I don't mind. It's part of your genius.
I wanted to kill him. I bought the knife, but I never even unwrapped the package. He was dead when I got there. I'm innocent, Morris.
Vaughn.
Believe me, Morris. You must believe me.
I understand, Mr. Goodman, and there is also an extensive literature on that subject.
Is that so, Lieutenant?
Have you read Feuerbacher on Immaculate Cancellation?
Well, I couldn't be sure.
Unwilling to face the fact of murder, the worst of crimes, the subject will cancel the memory and thus cleanse himself of guilt.
What you're saying is he's telling a lie.
Because he cannot face the enormity of the deed.
One thing he said made sense. He couldn't stab a man who was wearing a bright pink shirt. The colors would clash.
You're saying he wouldn't violate his artistic principles?
Yes. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Why not? He was willing to violate his moral ones.
I believe him.
Here is the knife with his fingerprints.
I know, but yet he says he brought it there in that box and never even took it out.
Fingerprints, bloodstains. These are the facts which tell us otherwise.
The knife. Oh, wait. It's a switchblade knife, no?
Yes.
It's not what you would call highly artistic?
No, but you would call it highly effective.
This? This is the knife he bought?
Why not? It's good enough to do the job.
You lied to me.
I swear to you, Morris, I told you the truth.
What is this nonsense about an artistic knife with a damaged, whatever you call it, blade?
It's true.
I saw the knife. It had your fingerprints on
it. Somebody placed them there while I was unconscious.
It was a common, ordinary, everyday switchblade knife that any common, ordinary, everyday hoodlum would use.
Impossible. Here, I'll show you. I have the sales slip from Julio. Well, I don't have it with me. They took everything out of my pocket.
Vaughn, please, you should really tell me the truth.
But it's true. Ask Julio. He'll tell you. Just ask Julio.
Did you know Vaughn? He walks up the aisle and down the aisle and pounds his fist on the counter. He's going to kill Perry Fullerton. Can I sell him a knife?
And so you sold him a knife. Oh, Julio. How could you sell him a knife? He was behaving like a maniac.
Morris, how can you say such a thing about me?
But you did sell him the knife. You knew he was ready to kill, and you sold him a knife.
I sold it to him, and I didn't sell it to him.
At the same time?
At one and the same time.
You realize we're discussing a physical impossibility?
Listen to how clever I did it. He picks out this dagger. Genuine, made in Toledo. Not Ohio, Spain.
Continue.
And he wants it gift wrapped.
This much I know without you.
What you don't know is how I gift wrap it. I gave it to Regina.
Oh, she still works? I thought she got married.
And the receipt, I write the letters COP.
Cop. That spells cop.
It also stands for cooling off period. When I sell an angry person a weapon, and make sure he don't walk out of the store with it so he can commit murder on the spot.
So what do you do?
I give the signal to Regina not to put it in the box. So she gift wraps an empty package. A day or two later, the customer comes back, but he ain't angry enough to kill anybody anymore.
So what you're telling me is he walked out of here without the knife.
Hey, great idea, Morris, no?
So he never used it to kill Perry.
How could he use it to kill Perry? Still in the store.
Then he was telling me the truth. He didn't kill Perry. But how is such a thing possible?
Well,
Well, you knew it all along. But then, of course, you were there when it happened. Remember, Morris is trying to put it all together out of thin air. And he isn't even a police officer. What is Morris going to do to convince people of Vaughn's innocence? With ethereal characters like Vaughn, there's really nothing solid to hold on to. Yesterday, Vaughn was guilty. Today, he's innocent. Will the pendulum swing again tomorrow? We still have a third act.
There are times when you feel like rolling, when the whole world's standing by, and you know just where you're going, and you know you're riding high. When the rest of the world is flying, you hit the road and you climb, 'cause you're a free spirit, one of a kind.
A Buick isn't just A to B transportation. It's a means of expressing yourself, a way to live life on your terms. And that's why we make so many different kinds of Buicks, all shapes, all sizes. From Buick's Opel, all the way up to Buick Electra. There are sedans, coupes, hatchbacks, two doors, four doors, even a three-door wagon. The 1975 Buicks, they give you all sorts of free-spirited ways to ride out the times with style. For you, that's important.
When you shop at your friendly Tradewell store, there's never any mystery about the values you receive. Tradewell offers the best foods, the best selection, the best service, and at the best possible price. So don't be mystified about shopping for food. Shop at your friendly Tradewell store and stretch your food dollar without sacrificing quality. Here are some outstanding values at your friendly Tradewell. Fresh ground beef, 69 cents a pound. California avocados, 4 for $1. Fresh whole stewing chickens, 29 cents a pound. Snowboy frozen lemonade, 6-ounce tin, 6 for $1. Shop Tradewell for quality with economy. Tradewell is headquarters for USDA Prime Beef.
Fullerton cheated two people. He stole a design from Vaughn Lemaire, and he welched on a bet he owed to bookmaker Adrian Smollett. Both Vaughn and Adrian were furious enough to kill him, and while Adrian committed the murder, poor Vaughn is getting the blame, thus proving the old proverb, the early bird gets the credit.
But, Lieutenant, he didn't even have a knife.
I'm afraid he did, Mr. Goodman. It's here on the table.
That isn't the knife he bought from Julio. Julio didn't put the knife in the package.
Precisely, Mr. Goodman. And when Vaughn discovered the package was empty, he picked up another knife, this knife, the bloodstained knife with his fingerprints on it.
But he swears that he saw Sally Joe Crabtree and Mr. Adrian Smollett. They were in the room, and Perry was already dead on the floor when he arrived.
There is an extensive literature on the subject, Mr. Goodman.
I should have known.
Have you heard Tillinghast on compulsive psychotic association?
No.
Well, I suppose you could say it means misery loves company. A man in trouble tries to involve others.
You say he's lying, huh?
He's fantasizing.
But he says he saw them.
We asked Miss Crabtree and Mr. Smollett to come in for questioning.
And what happened?
They were out of town these past 3 days. They only returned this morning.
Lieutenant, I am a judge of character. I tell you, and you heard it here first, that Vaughn Lemaire is not guilty.
Morris.
Oh, hello, Julio.
Morris, when a man eats lunch, he should have a smile on his face.
With this weight on my heart, how can I have a smile on my face?
Vaughn?
Julio, he was like a son to me.
He was a good designer. I say that much for him. What do you mean, was? You talk like he's dead. They're going to put him away, Morris. He's open and close.
While there is life, there's hope. But is that enough?
Hey, listen. Do you want to bet on a horse?
Did I ever bet on a horse in my life?
You things, Morris. That's the secret of keeping young. This is a horse. You in particular. should bet on.
Be good enough to explain why I should violate the principles of a lifetime.
Because of the horse's name.
Yes?
This horse is called Maya. M-A-I-A.
Hey, that was the name of Vaughn's design.
There's a horse called Maya also.
I never heard of him.
I think he's a horse.
You mean lady horses also run, along with the men?
That's why I understand.
Huh? Only in America?
No, no, Puerto Rico too.
A horse called Maya. I can't get over it.
Rakina, she read the papers a lot.
I always said she was an intelligent girl.
She read the one ads to find a job for her husband.
The actor.
The one ads are near the racing pages. And there, she sees a horse named Maya. He's gonna race at Southern Gardens.
I never heard of it.
Me neither. He's somewhere in Louisiana.
Maya is also a racehorse. Aha!
Aha, what?
Well, right now it's only aha. Maybe later, it'll be something else.
Morris, I swear to you, I did not kill him.
But he is dead.
Well, of course he's dead.
Then somebody had to kill him.
But it wasn't me.
Then who else could it be?
Are you asking me, Morris?
Is there somebody else sitting in this cell that I could ask?
By a detective.
Am I? For the last week, I haven't been in the shop even.
I don't know who could have killed him.
Tell me, did he owe money?
He's dead, and I must protect his name.
Then I say goodbye right now.
Morris. He didn't know what he was doing. You see, he was desperate. He needed $500. I refused him. That's why. That's why he stole the Maya.
Tell me, did he bet on horses?
Oh, can't we leave his memory green?
Yes or no?
Oh, yes. Morris, why this inquisition?
This man, this Adrian Smollett, what does he do?
I think he's a gambler.
Ah, now it fits. Now it's a perfect size 10.
What are you saying, Morris?
But my problem is, how do I sell it?
Be right with you, sugar. Oh, it's Morris.
May I come in?
Well, certainly, Morris.
Well, it's, a very nice-looking place.
Well, thank you, Morris.
I haven't had a chance yet to say how sorry I am about Perry. After all, you and Perry...
Thank you again, Morris. You're so sweet.
I wonder, could you do me a small favor?
Why, I'd be delighted, Morris.
Well, you see, this is something new to me.
Well, you sound like a man who's going to attempt something naughty.
Oh, well, Sally Joe, for me it would be naughty. I think I want to bet on a horse.
Morris.
Well, shouldn't a man have some fun from life?
Well, absolutely.
I was reading in the papers and I saw the name of a horse. It runs somewhere, I don't know, way down in the South.
Oh, honey, they're the best.
A horse named, you know, I can't get over it. Could you believe the name of this horse?
Well, sugar, I'd have to know it first, wouldn't I?
Maya.
Maya. But that's...
That's what?
Nothing. It's just a coincidence.
Isn't it? True, it was stolen. No, let us not say that. He's dead, poor Perry. Let him rest. Anyhow, it was Vaughn's greatest design. And now, I see a horse named Maya. Isn't this fate?
Let me see the paper, sugar. Oh, yeah, here she is at Southern Gardens. Oh, my goodness, she's running at 32 to 1.
Is that a fact? So let me see now. For $500...
$500?
I should get back $16,000. Well, it'll make up a little bit for what we lost on the Maya.
You want to bet $500?
Is it too small a bet?
Oh, no. I think it's just fine.
I was wondering if you could do me a favor.
Oh, yes, of course, the favor.
Well, you see, I don't know any bookmakers. I mean, after all...
Oh, I understand.
So I was wondering if you...
Well, certainly. Certainly. You want me to call one?
On the telephone? It's like a taxi cab.
Oh, well, it's the easiest thing to do. You just pick up the phone and there you get right through. Now, you hold on just a minute. Sally Joe, a gentleman's here. Wants to place a little bet.
A jump.
18 carat.
Good for the dough.
A very solid individual.
Put him on.
Morris?
Oh, yes, thank you. Hello? With whom am I speaking?
That don't matter. Just say your piece.
Oh, there's a horse called Meyer.
Running in the fifth at Sutton Gardens, 32-1 and carrying 106 pounds. How much you want?
Will $500 be all right?
To win?
Of course to win. What then, to lose?
Post times in 10 minutes. 500 on Meyer. What's your initials?
Morris Goodman, M.G.
Stay near that phone. I'll call you back.
It's for you, sugar. Answer it.
Hello, Morris Goodman speaking.
She run out of the money.
What does that mean?
It means you lose.
Oh.
It also means you gotta pay me 5 big bills.
I understand.
You got it on you?
Would I bet if I didn't?
You are a man in a million. Stay there, I'll be right over.
Coming.
You got my 500?
Ah, what a business. How quick money changes hands.
You're new, huh? You got my 5.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
How could you prove I made such a bet?
I got it written down.
You write down every time somebody makes a bet with you. Hmm?
Don't you keep a record in your business who owes what?
Well, I got an accountant. I keep books. What have you got?
I got slips.
Slips?
Slips of paper.
Oh.
Do you deny you made the bet?
Oh, no, no. I made it.
Then hand over my 5.
Could I see my slip first?
What do you want it for?
A souvenir.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maya, 500 MG. Huh. It's an expensive slip of paper.
Yeah. Come on, Morris. Hand over my dough.
You are under arrest, Adrian.
Why?
Sugar.
What kind of joke?
It's no joke. I'm serious.
You chump. Did you ring in a cop on me?
Sugar, it's Morris Goodman.
I am making what is known as a citizen's arrest. Any citizen is
entitled. Listen, I don't like this. Give me my dough or you're going to like it a lot less.
I am arresting you for the murder of Perry Fullerton.
Hey, wait a minute.
Now, you want to be careful, Mr. Goodman.
Listen, Morris, I can take a joke.
You were here and you killed him.
You're crazy.
Vaughn says he saw both of you here.
Why shouldn't he say that?
It's his word against ours.
We were in Atlantic City.
Well, you make sure you can prove it. Where did you stay, huh? With whom? Have you got receipts, tickets?
I think I'm going to have to take care of this junk.
Don't be crazy, Hadrian. What can he prove?
I can prove that this slip of paper of yours is exactly the same as the one that was found on the floor under Perry Fullerton's body. It's the exact same paper, the exact same handwriting. Yours.
Oh, I gotta kill this clown now.
Lieutenant Valentine thinks it's a note Perry wrote to himself. He thinks Maya 500 PF means personality Frox would pay him $500 for the Maya. But this is a bet slip. Your slip. P.F. is Perry Fullerton.
He's too smart. Too smart.
You can't kill him here.
No, we'll take him someplace quiet. All right, you get moving, chump, and don't make a noise.
You certainly have enough knives.
Just stay close to me and shut up.
Where's everybody going?
Look out for him, Julio.
He's no trouble. You saw Morris with one hand. What are we doing?
We're making a citizen's arrest.
Hey, that's fun. We should do this more often.
No, thanks. Once is enough for me. Lieutenant, how fast can I get Vaughn out? He has to get back to work.
Oh, the papers won't take more than half an hour.
Our false showing is less than a week away.
Tell me, Mr. Goodman, how were you able to perceive the salient facts? How could you, in the face of all this apparent evidence, believe that Vaughn was innocent?
Well, Lieutenant, how could he mix red with pink?
There must have been something else.
Well, Lieutenant, there's an extensive literature written on the subject. Have you ever heard the poem that says, "Let me clasp his hand and call him friend, and I'll stand by his side till the bitter end"?
Who wrote that?
Who do you think? Morris Goodman.
This has been a story of friends. Friends who were loyal and friends who were false. Friends. They make living possible, but also can make living impossible. The book tells us that a faithful friend is the medicine of life. And while medicines cure, they can also kill. Friends. For better, for worse, who can do without them? Since we cannot do without you, I shall be back in just a few moments.
Radio. It's been doing nice things for you for years. It wakes you up. It keeps you company in your car. It fills your life with music. It fills your mind with ideas. It informs, entertains, and radio does something else. It sells. Quickly, easily, creatively, efficiently. Consider that last word, efficiently. As a businessman, you know how all costs, including advertising, have been skyrocketing. You know what adflation means. A major advertising agency has just reported that line rates for the largest metropolitan dailies in the top 50 markets rose 12% over the past year. But what about radio? The same study revealed the cost for buying radio in the top 50 markets increased only 3%. What else can you buy today that only costs 3% more than it did a year ago? Get radio selling for you. Call this station. We'll suggest ways radio can help you fight adflation. Furnished by Radio Advertising Bureau.
Vanity of vanity, said the preacher. All is vanity. And our story was based on one of mankind's greatest vanities, the adornment of the body. And yet, is it so sinful for a woman to wish to appear lovely? After all, isn't a well-dressed woman sweeter to look upon? Besides, it gives gainful employment to so many people. And it has given us a subject for a tale of murder. Our cast included Arnold Stang, Norman Rose, Jackson Beck, Earl Hammond, and Joan Shea. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
It's coming from this room.
Mrs. Parker!
Open up! Open up in there!
Break it in. Break it in. Mrs. Parker! Oh, Mrs. Parker!
No! Oh, no!
Open the window!
Let me. Lock from the inside. Door locked on the inside, too. Key in the lock.
Mrs. Parker! Oh, let's get her to the window. Fresh air.
No, no. Don't bother. She's dead.
But maybe if we can get some air into her lungs.
It won't cure a broken neck.
Broken?
You can see the way it's twisted, Miss Hall. It's broken, all right.
Then she's been murdered, too.
Yes, Miss James. She's been murdered, too.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
KIXI listening area. Cloudy nights and mornings and cool through Sunday with occasional afternoon sunny periods. Rain showers becoming widely scattered on Sunday. The highs near 65 tomorrow, the upper 60s on Sunday, and lows in the upper 40s. In downtown Seattle currently, it's 54 degrees.
You can hear the difference. Bright and beautiful music.
KIXI, Seattle. CBS News is next. The time is 11 p.m.
CBS News. Automakers are pleased. Many environmentalists are not after President Ford announces a recommendation calling for the delay of tighter auto emission standards. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The president proposed delaying until 1981 the tight exhaust standards slated to go into effect in 1977. He said the main reason for the delay is concern that there is a potential health hazard with the catalytic converter, the principal device now used to clean auto exhaust. The president cited a government report which said the converters produce a fine mist of sulfuric acid. President Ford also said imposition of the tougher standards would reduce gasoline mileage and make new cars more expensive. The Ford Motor Company issued a statement praising the president for what it called his realistic assessment of the situation. The National Clean Air Coalition called the president's move a last-ditch effort to permit the auto industry to keep on polluting. More news in a moment.
Hearts wants to round up every brown worm in town and run them out before they run your dog down.
Roundworms can strike your dog or cat. Get rid of them safely with the Hearts Once a Month Wormer. Add it to your pet's dinner every 30 days, then it'll round up those roundworms and keep them away for good.
Get Hearts Once a Month Wormer at your favorite store and help your dog to be roundworm free evermore.
The Hearts Once a Month Wormer for dogs and cats.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect, with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
President Ford is expected to sign the compromise housing bill, which got through the Senate Friday. The bill replaces one the president vetoed earlier in the week as too expensive. The bill is intended to provide mortgage financing for thousands of moderate-income homebuyers. Approval in the Senate came after a compromise was worked out over the issue of fees charged to homebuyers. The government was pleased with this week's economic indicators, which they say show the recession is coming to an end. But one major problem remains: high unemployment. And officials say that won't go away for a long time. One labor leader, Autoworkers President Leonard Woodcock, says reports of a recovery don't mean much when you look at the unemployment predictions.
Their average unemployment projection for the entire year of 1976 is 7.9%. For 1977, 7.7%. And they don't project getting down to 5.5, which is high enough, Lord knows, until 1980. Well, I suggest to you that is a prescription for disaster.
Woodcock spoke at a union seminar in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Professional golfers Lee Trevino and Jerry Hurd are reported in satisfactory condition with minor burns after being struck by lightning while playing in the Western Open Golf Tournament in Oak Brook, Illinois. The second round of the tourney was canceled after the incident. Trevino and Hurd were being held overnight in a hospital. Three other pros, Bobby Nichols, Jim Ahern, and Tony Jacklin, also felt the lightning, but they were not hospitalized. Anne Grisell, whose husband works as a tea tender at the course, tells what happened when Trevino was hit.
We thought he was just kidding, and they said, he's really been hit, call an ambulance. My husband Keith called the ambulance, and I ran right down there. The caddies were there, and there was a man out there who was a medical technologist, and he was looking after him. We took his pulse, and we were just watching, you know, and he was, said there was a lot of discomfort. He said that he thought he was going to die, and he was very scared, and that his shoulder did hurt a lot, and he thought it was broken.
The lightning which hit the golfers in Illinois was part of a system of storms that caused a heavy downpour and some flooding in the Chicago area. Beirut, one of the most important cities in the Middle East, was paralyzed Friday as street fighting among left and right-wing elements grew more intense. It's reported about 25 people have been killed in the fighting in the past 4 days. Now this.
Hey, summer's here.
Have a good year, America. Get on
Get summer driving off to a good start during Goodyear's three-day sale at participating retailers.
Get on Goodyear now and save.
Get four V-size Goodyear cushion belt polyglass black wall tires for only $95, plus $1.83 FET and your old tire. Comparable savings on larger sizes. So come on in.
Have a Goodyear America. Get on Goodyear now and save.
Hear ye, hear ye. Listen to this.
This is Charles Osgood, CBS News, and I've been looking into some fascinating American profiles to bring you over the July 4th weekend. For example, this nation's first recognized black poet, an 18th century lady named Phyllis Wheatley, who hobnobbed with royalty. She's one of the people I'll be telling you about in 30 special broadcasts, American Profile, the weekend of July 5th and 6th, on the CBS Radio Network.
The widely publicized Sonny and Cher split is now final. Singer Cher Bono appeared in court Friday in Santa Monica, California. She told the judge there's no chance for reconciliation of her marriage to Sonny Bono. The judge then granted the divorce. Still not settled were custody of the couple's six-year-old daughter, Chastity, and a property settlement. Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The time is 6 minutes past 11.
Music for People Who Care continues on KIXI. Mm-hmm.